You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced that I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on his thigh's knee, and we're talking moccasin joke. Where the party they gonna have? Out in the St. John's swamps. Sasquatch doing his brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Well, hello, everybody. This is Marco Bill. I'm sorry Tom couldn't make it tonight. He did make it last week, but he's got he's in travel again here, and, you know, his telephone isn't working too good over the mountains and stuff, so we just thought to forego it, and I'd run the show tonight. Want to thank all of our listeners out there, and all, of course, our Bigfoot family members. Different calls and things, and emails, Facebook postings, a lot of different things here. Appreciate all your inputs and all your information. Bigfoot Hotline has been hot. It's always hot, but I mean, it's really been hot here the last few months. And again, tonight we're going to have one of our guests is going to be telling us about a really recent encounter that he had. And of course, all of our family members who have been with us for many years now, coming on and sharing their research endeavors with us online here. I'd like to send out a little prayer and well wishes to all of you people out there that are sick and are going through some hard times. It's not an easy time right now for anybody, but the flu season, there's a lot of people out there that got, you know, as time goes by, we get different illnesses. And I know of a few people out there that are, their families are suffering because of it. Just like to send out our well wishes and prayers for a fast recovery, and hope everything works out well for everyone. Well, tonight we're going to go down here. We're going to go to North Carolina. We're going to talk to a really good friend of ours. We're going to talk to Jerry. And Jerry, how are you tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Jerry, now, you had an encounter experience here not too long ago. Could you tell us a little bit about what happened and everything and give us a rundown on the whole thing?
Oh, yes, sir. Last Sunday night, it was between 8:15 and 8:30, I was leaving a handyman job. I had some painting and stuff. So I was coming up one of the neighboring counties there, and I've been seeing, hearing stuff about, you know, how they're in swamp areas and stuff. So I'm looking out through there curious, you know, and lo and behold, behind this tree about 6.5 feet tall, and it's about 3.5 feet wide, I seen this figure standing behind it. And it looked like it was kind of crouched down, because if it had been standing straight up, you could see his head. Well, you know, I take a double take at it. So I'm going on home, and I tell a few people during the week, and they like, oh, you know, you didn't see nothing. So I said, me and my wife and my kids, we went back to the same location. So I get out there taking some pictures. What I mainly want to do is, I thought maybe if it could have been a tall stump, it rotted and broke off and in behind this tree. So we get looking at the pictures, and I go down there and I take a picture of the tree, and that was my curiosity right there. It was confirmed that I seen a Bigfoot, because there was no broken off tall stump in behind this. So here I'm taking pictures, and I took a picture of that so I could show people that it wasn't no stump. That's what I've been telling them. You know, if it wasn't a stump, it was Bigfoot. I know it was. So here we take some pictures, and we're leaving, and my daughter, Anna, she's in the back seat, and she's wanting to see the phone, so she's going through the pictures, and she comes across this one, and she crops a picture of a face of a Bigfoot. So we get home, we pull up the store, so let me see, we pull into this filling station, we get to looking, and say, man, I believe we've seen Bigfoot. We got pictures of it. This is, you know, wild. So here we go home, and we get looking more. We start, you know, zooming in on every little twig, branch, and all this stuff. So here are these images. You can't make them out because it's like on a 15-acre marshland, and my camera only zooms so far. So we see this one image that I think the one I've seen, it was black figure standing behind this tree. Well, I've seen it look like it's crouched down out in the field. So we get to looking around, and I get to zooming in, and there it is. The face that my daughter cropped, it's in its lair, looking out of the entrance of the lair. So, you know, I called Marco Bill, and I told him, you know, I got some film that I want to send you. And, you know, I started to go to the news station. I said, well, all they're going to do is say, you know, put it up there. What do you think? Is it a Bigfoot or is it not? Check the block or whatever, however they do it. So I sent it to him, and now I got the film to him, and he's going to have his team look over it, and that's pretty much what happened there.
Yeah, well, there's some other things there. Now, you know, you were talking about layers, and you found several, right?
Yeah, the same. Look, what it is, it looks like a picture of igloo, how igloo-shaped, rounded. Well, this is made out of, like, I guess, like mud and little sticks, and it's sort of rounded, and this figure was, and it's a clear-cut figure. I mean, you can see the eyeball. You can see how it goes down in the corner like an eye. You can see the nose on it, the mouth on it. And it has something to the in the left of the pit, where it'd be in the right of the picture looking at. In the foreground, it looks like a purple shirt, or maybe some lace around the neck. And it looked like it possibly it could have like a pumpkin's head on it, a Halloween pumpkin's head on it or something. I can't make it out. That's the reason I sent the footage to them so they can, you know, try to clear it up. But these pod things, I think I counted in the pictures, there's at least five.
Mm-hmm.
At least five, maybe two to three of them in like a little cluster group, like maybe 6 or 8 feet apart.
Right.
Yep.
And they're all kind of the similar materials, right?
Oh, yeah, they're similar material. They're it looks identical. And this
mm-hmm.
stuff I see on these shows, these other shows on TV,
yeah.
They show like it threw out in the open, it threw some sticks on top of each other, but this has nothing to do with that. This is like took time to build this thing.
Sure.
And you can't really see through it. Now, they might have some little holes. It looks like some little grainy holes. Like I said, I can't make it out real good on my picture.
Well, and another thing, did you happen to notice around there when you were looking at the layers and stuff, did you happen to notice what we call tree twists or
no,
trees that were broken off?
I think we've seen one. I think it was one, but it was like more or less like a just a break and fell over, like maybe the wind snapped a little pine tree. But let's see out there at the border of this place in the tree line. I can't see out that far. Maybe that footage I seen you at pictures, y'all clear it up a little bit. Maybe you can see. But there is in those pictures there is one. It's walking like I'm. It's zooming in about 12 acres now. It's about 15 acres to the back of the tree line, about 12 acres out from where I'm standing. I've seen some pictures of a. I got some pictures of a. It looked like a Bigfoot walking in a opening.
Uh-huh.
And how you can tell it's moving is there's three trees there, three skinny trees. Well, it starts before the tree. And then it's in one picture, and another picture is close in line with a tree, but you can still see the brown, you know, brown image of it and like a leg sticking out from what I can, you know, clarify what, on my camera. And then in the next picture, it shows the on the other side of the tree back in the opening. So whatever it was clearly, clearly moving.
Another question, too, is... the terrain that these layers are in, is it a swampy terrain?
Yes, sir. What
is it? Mud and water kind of thing?
Yeah, it's kind of like marshy. And
marsh?
It's got like some, yeah, like a marsh. And it's got like two or three little creeks feeding through it. Well, on the back right-hand side of it, facing the road looking out to it, it's got a pretty good-sized wide creek. Well, see, I went down in there. You know, and I, you know, like you see on TV, I'd done some tree knocks. I found a limb. I hit some, you know, just curious, you know, just playing around down in there.
Sure.
And
yeah.
I didn't hear anything, but I did hear some kind of weird kind of sounds. Like I don't know, I couldn't make out the what it was. One of them sounds similar to a squirrel, but you know, I played it off. I was mainly looking for feet print.
Right.
And I didn't see any, and I sound like I'm kind of crazy. I was out there going, you know, hollering like you see on TV what they do. I was kind of laughing at myself. And then I come up on out of there. I definitely seen the face looking out the lair, and I definitely seen the figure standing. And another, in the picture that you see, it's just squatting down in the field.
Yes.
I believe it is the one that was behind the tree.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if it's like the alpha male of them, but he's a big boy.
Yep.
And you can, and as I was telling you, that it stumps, when you clear the pictures up, the stumps, there's an awful lot of stumps squatting down out there in the field with head and shoulder shapes on them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, they do. We believe they're, you know, they hang around in family pods. And you've found several layers that were grouped together.
Yep.
And then other layers that were spread apart. One of the things, well, there's a couple of things. One, the layers probably, you know, together very well could be a family pod area where they rest and sleep and, and have their own little thing. But some of the others, we've also found what they call hunting lairs.
Uh-huh.
What they do is they'll hide inside the lair and, on a path or a trail or a game trail. And then as the game comes by, they'll jump out and try to get the game.
That sounds pretty smart idea to do.
What type of are you familiar with the type of animals and things that are in that area there?
Well, you know, one thing I noticed was outside down in the creek, things making noise. I didn't really see any birds and stuff that I remembered, which I was looking. I went down in there and I looked at the base of that little tree. I was looking for footprints. But I didn't see anything. But it was kind of hard ground at that spot behind a tree. But I didn't see any. I mean, like a little tadpoles are jumping in the, you know, in the water, in the little creek things that was running through the middle there.
Do they have clams or stuff like that there somewhere?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Would they have like clams?
I wasn't really looking for that, Bill. I was looking mainly for the footprints. But I did notice there's an awful lot of trees laying over the deepest parts of the creek, I mean the marsh part. So I just walked across them, you know, gently because I didn't want to break and fall down in the thing there. But I noticed there were several of them just laying over in there. So I used them to walk around, you know, looking.
Wow, well, that's pretty darn good, Jerry. I think you did a good job of taking a look around about things and investigating stuff.
Yeah. Most people don't
do that.
Yeah, I didn't go to the very back. Well, I mean, you know, I seen this dark figure stand behind this tree, and I took my pistol with me, you know, for safety.
Sure.
Because you never know. I mean, I'd hate to shoot something that we're trying to figure out, you know, its existence and
well,
the
even,
DNA
even if
and
not,
all this.
Well, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Bigfoot. It could be.
Oh, yeah.
They got you got hogs in the area there, right?
Oh, yeah. There's wild boar around.
Yeah, you're doggone right.
Yeah.
I'd be more scared of one of those than I would be a Bigfoot.
Yeah. Well, I've always believed that there could be something, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
But I never discredited it all. I always kept it in the back of my mind. But now that I've seen this figure and we've seen this face peering out of this pod, yeah, they's definitely a Bigfoot. And like you said, it may not be the species that you're, you know, accustomed to seeing on, you know, because I've only, you know, looked at some of these websites and some of the pictures. And the ones I've seen have a lot of hair on his face. Well, this one don't necessarily have a lot of hair on his face, but you can see the outline of the hair.
Sure.
We have various
pictures. Some have hair on the face, some don't. Some of the faces are more human-looking, flat, you know, a flat human face.
Uh-huh.
And there's others that are, you know, more prominent, like orangutan. And there's others that are, the dog-faced version where it had a snout, and so there's different things, and we've run across all of them, so it's hard to, you know, unfortunately what we do is we define them all as Bigfoot, because but I mean it's, but there are different sightings, and there's also small ones, and there's of course the large ones, and so there's a variation, but it's pretty neat.
Oh, yeah. If I had to guess, I mean, I don't know about their, you know, I know they're male and female gender. They have to be, you know, to have babies. But if I had to guess, if I had to put my money on it, this was a female it was looking at.
Mm-hmm. Well, very well could have been.
For some reason or another, because this one that I've seen crouch behind a tree, it looked like it had more hair on its face than the one I've seen looking out of the lair.
Mm-hmm. Well, it very well could be. And, we've also noticed that some of the sightings they have, where they may have a full, you know, like the hair color of their body, they'll have like tufts of gray or yellow, you know, like a crest.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like the, kind of like a crest as well. So there's a lot of variation. It doesn't have to be exactly the same as another. I mean, it's just like you, none of us humans are exactly the same as the other.
That's right.
We've got different races, and they look differently. Different colors. I mean, so the very same thing can be true, you know, with these things as well. We just don't know enough about them. Well,
yes,
gosh, Jerry, you have spent a lot of time. You've really been a super guy. You've contacted us, and you've filled me in with everything that you're doing, kept me apprised of everything. You sent me the pictures so I could take a good evaluation of them, and we're going to do that. And I just, you know, I just want to thank you for all the efforts that you've made in the past week here, just to share all this information with all the people out here. It's a difficult thing when you tell people you saw one of these creatures, they think you're nuts.
Yeah.
You know, but you know you're not because you know what you saw. I just wanted to welcome you to the world of Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, yeah. And what I'd like to do is I'm going to mute you out for our next guest that's coming up here. But at the end of the show, we're going to have about a 10 or 15-minute period where you can ask questions of some of the other guests that you're going to listen to tonight.
Okay.
And they may ask you some questions, too, and that's how we share information with different sightings and things, okay?
Okay, I'll stay on the line then.
Okay, my friend. Thank you, Jerry. I appreciate everything you've done.
Uh-huh. Thank you for having
me. I'll keep in contact with you as we go along here, okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay, I'm gonna just mute you out here, and then we're going to go to commercial, and we're going to come back. And bear with me.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
Well, we're back, and now we're going to go out to visit our good friend Dave in Four Corners, New Mexico. Dave, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great, Marco Bill. How are you?
Super. Great. Well, you've had some things going on over there as well, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we do. It's been very, very consistent here lately.
Let me explain to the listeners here. I have a link. It's a video link. And Dave has shared a video with us of some tracks that they've plotted out. And the significant thing about this video, you know, we talk about terrain, the desert kind of terrain, the arid terrain, and it's very difficult to get a good understanding of that because you'd think desert is sand, so sand isn't that hard to walk in other than, you know, you go ankle deep in it. Well, this is not sand that you go ankle deep in. And, you know, the movie or the video that Dave shared with us from before that he took, that creature was moving pretty doggone fast through this terrain. And we are not going to travel that fast in this terrain. So you take a look at it, you're going to see the impressions of the footprints. They're all staked out. It's up on www.bigfootlive.com. That's the radio show webpage. And on the table of contents, go to What's On This Week and look under Dave's listing, and you'll see that link that goes up, and you'll be able to take a look and look at the rocks. I mean, my God, just walking on that with shoes, I mean, you can twist your ankle, I mean, stumble, fall. It's not a very easy kind of thing to go in.
Yeah, it's definitely rocky terrain out there. And, sandy. Yeah. But,
Go ahead and let us know what's going on. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take it all.
No problem. Our good friend Brenda went out there later in the week just to do a follow-up, and they did hear some noises out there. I guess they thought they saw something on a ridge nearby, and they found more tracks. They actually found more tracks. A little one is out there with them, too.
Wow.
And I guess it seems to be in this valley. You can see that clearing. That's the bottom of that valley, and it has an attraction to that area. So I think she's going to head out again, weather permitting. And today I actually went out and did a little investigation myself, just locally. We've been hearing there's a local casino that's been built to the west of Farmington, and on the road, the access road to get there, there's been people reporting they've seen Bigfoot crossing the road, just running across it.
Mm-hmm.
I went ahead and checked it out, and I didn't see any tracks. I thought I was hoping I would, but I can see where what happened last night, which is adjacent to this area, about another half mile to the north. I have a friend that lives in this neighborhood. It's right at the very edge of town. The other side is a reservation where I was at, and the other side is Farmington, New Mexico. And he said he usually takes a walk in that park. It's a riverine park at night, about 10, you know, just to relax. There were policemen this time in the park, and they asked my friend it would be wise to head back to where you live. And they diverted him into the neighborhood instead of going back through the park to his house. And he asked them what was going on, and he says, there's some weird things going on here. We don't want to divulge in it. That's all that we can tell you. And this area has been known. This is the same exact area where my friend had seen three Bigfoot crossing the river at 2,300 CFS, which is too swift for humans. He saw a big one, a mid-sized one, probably 6-7 foot, and then a small one that was about 4 foot. They were all crossing, like if it was just a shallow stream. It's usually about 5 to 6 feet deep,
So
I didn't get a chance to go in there, but I did find a stick formation in there. Actually, my friend did, and I investigated. That was kind of a weird situation, too, where we looked at this. And then I had my camera lens as I was taking pictures of the stick formation, and my camera lens seemed like I was wrestling with my camera for some reason, and then the lens popped off. But it was almost like something was trying to grab it. Something was grabbing it and released the lens. That was a weird thing. It was some kind of paranormal deal. I just don't understand.
Jeez. Man.
And let's see, what else? Brenda sent me a picture. We were trying to determine where this picture was, where there's a Bigfoot in the water. And it was a cell phone picture, so it was average resolution. On the, I sort of determined it was close to Farmington, and she thought it was like farther down the river, about 20 miles. Well, today I drove up to the top of a hill, and I saw exactly where that picture was taken, so I'm going to make this sort of my, if possible, my regular photographic area, like early mornings and late evenings now. But I did find this spot where this Bigfoot was in the water. And it's a little fuzzy. You know, it's because it's cell phone quality. I just can't get a good resolution on it. But it's clear enough to see there's definitely something in the middle of the San Juan River. So, things are just happening out here. And there's a lot more going to happen. I mean, it seems that they're looking for food. And this Bigfoot that Brenda was, that we were all investigating, even the video, it appears they weren't too far away from homesteads, so we're assuming that they're looking for food. And they're,
sure.
Yeah, and it's there is a mountain nearby, a pretty high mountain, but it seems like all this activity is happening down below, so it's obvious that they're looking for food. And we're probably right in the area where they're looking for that food until the plant life starts coming out again.
Well, and there is a lot of area where the farms are, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of farmland. Usually
corn and
other to the rivers. Yeah. In the actual reservation where there's no stream, you know, Yeah, where there's no permanent streams, it's hard. It's really hard to farm unless it's at a higher altitude where they get deeper snows. But yeah, generally by the rivers, there's great farmland down there. You know, the water's constant from Navajo Dam farther up north, farther up east actually. And yeah, they sure like that corn. They like the squash and the watermelons, which we some friends of mine had some watermelons raided. They were going to take them to the state fair in Albuquerque. And they couldn't take them because they were all cut on the top and then just scooped out. I have pictures
wow.
of those, too. I should send those to you.
Pretty neat.
Yeah.
Gosh.
It's just hopping with activity again. And, you know, I sat up on that hill, and I thought, man, I just want to see something pop out. Of course, I took some pictures, and while the first guest was talking, I looked at one of the pictures. I took a picture of a turkey from the top of a hill and looking down to the river bottom. And I'm going to investigate that picture because it looks like there's some kind of shadow that has a humanoid form in it. And I can't say if it's just a shadow or it's something solid, but I think the best thing for me to do is just take a picture again either tomorrow or Friday and see if I can imitate, you know, if this picture will come out the same. If it doesn't come out the same, I think we had a creature or something down below. But there is a shape to it, and I inverted the color of the photo. It's still in Photoshop right now. I just let it sit in there until I can get to it here in a few minutes. But it intrigued me because it looks like it has a form and sort of a face to it. I'm going, well, if that's a shadow, that sure is a pretty coincidental shadow. But I'm going to really scrutinize it before I say it's anything, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you got to look at it and take a look. But man, you've had quite a bit of activity going on.
Yeah,
so it's starting to liven up over there.
Oh yes, yeah, we're starting to get a little green. I'm starting to see buds on the trees. They're probably about 2 weeks early, but they are happening. We didn't have an extremely harsh winter after December. It was fairly mild for most of the whole winter, which is great actually. It felt great, but we finally got a little snow, and then it's warmed up to 77 degrees today, which is great. Oh
wow,
it's wonderful. I'm just in shorts and tank top. This is, you know, no more jacket. Well, right now it's getting cold. But I think Bigfoot's the same way, too. He goes, man, I'm coming out. I'm getting ready to head to the high country here. It's going to be too hot.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. That's good.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, you're going to continue looking around there.
Oh,
and
right.
it appears that the activity is starting to increase as, you know, as spring and summer grow near.
Yes, absolutely. We noticed that even actually the past several years, activity has grown, and last year was really active as well. We all over the whole valley, you know. I mean, we just didn't know where to actually park ourselves because it's like, well, where is it going to be active? And fortunately, we have some friends down up and down the valley that give us reports, so that kind of minimizes the waste of time, and we can focus in an area better.
Now, how far are you from the area where they got that? The little orchards and stuff that they've planted.
Yeah, let's see. Oh, everything, actually, the activity starts like here near ground zero right here by my house. Just I live
really
about three-quarters from the river, yeah. It's
well, you know what I'm talking about, right? The areas where they planted some trees, some fruit trees and other things up there.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a wild orchard.
Yeah, I would say at least 7-8 miles to the west of me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's actually a neighborhood that's it's not on the Navajo reservation side, which is the south side of the river. It's on the regular public land side. Call it Kirtland. There's actually a neighborhood that has an apple like a apple orchard in the middle of the median, and that was Brenda. See, I think Brenda's sister lives in that neighborhood, and she told me before that her daughter had seen a Bigfoot look through their back window because they're right there by the river, and her mother didn't believe her, you know, at the time, but. They also reported that in that apple orchard in the median of the street, there were a lot of branches broken during harvest time as soon as the apples were ripening, and they couldn't figure out how those branches were broken up at the top, and all these apples and everything, you know, remnants of apples were all over the place, and I believe somebody finally saw something. It was just real brief, but some like really tall thing was breaking the branches. See, they were calling the police on this too because they thought it was just gang members, you know.
But,
it just kind of surprised, you know. Oh, and there was something else I'm going to tell you that I took pictures last fall of some tree formations right in the middle of our, in the city limits here in Farmington. We have a riverine park that goes right through the middle of town, and it has great trails to walk on, and you can cycle on them and stuff. Well, I had taken pictures of at least three formations. There were stick formations that I'd noticed here recently, and I said, well, we're still part of the river system, you know, right by the San Juan. And it didn't completely surprise me, but it astonished me with all the people that are in the park. But the park is closed at night, though, so that's probably where the activity's going. And even some trees broken, you know, 30, 40-foot trees that are broken halfway. Well, in the past 2 weeks, they've cleared all that out. I told a policeman here back in October, I was scanner chasing. I was listening to a policeman talk about a report of somebody saying there was kind of screams and yells going on in that park at about 10 at night. So I went over there, and sure enough, I actually picked something up on my digital recorder, but when I played it back, it was nothing but wind and static. Well, there was no wind, and I couldn't figure out where the static came from. I could hear myself talking with Brenda at that time, but I did tell that policeman there are strange things going on in this thing, and I even finally mentioned the word. I said, it's purported that Bigfoot may be in this park once in a while. And he got quiet, and he says, well, there's things... Like, he basically admitted that there's some strange things, but he didn't want to say, you know. Like, I think the word got out through the, you know, the city works and police that there are some strange things going. Well, anyway, the city workers came and basically destroyed all those tree formations and the trees that were half toppled down. And where one of the trees was toppled last fall, I had I even cleared some of the leaves away, and I found some bigger tracks, at least 13, 14 inches. So I said, there you go. There's a Bigfoot.
Whoa, yeah.
Yeah, because I found smaller tracks, too. Like, it looked like maybe a human might have walked through there. But what happened, it was during a muddy time last year, but I did find some big tracks through there, too. I actually took some pictures just, you know, moving the leaves away. But all that has been cleared out already, and I think what's happening, they know there's some strange things going, and they don't want to scare the visitors at the park. So... And I'm going to check on that a tree formation that's still over at that other riverine park where my lens fell off, and see if they had taken that down too. So it's obvious that the city knows something, and they probably have seen the videos too, you know, on Destination America and some of our local stuff that's on YouTube.
Yeah.
So yeah, they, you know, I think they just don't want to scare people. I can understand that.
Well, gosh.
It's really hopping out here, and I think everywhere else, too.
Yeah, well, it's starting to pick up all over.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Well, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. I know you got to leave early tonight, right?
Yeah, I got to get out of here by 9. So.
Okay. Well, I'm going to keep in touch with you, and we'll, if you can come on next week, we'll see what's happened.
Okay, sounds great.
Thanks, Dave, for sharing with us.
You bet. Thank you, Marco Bill.
And thanks for the video thing. That's pretty good. I really like that. That's really a clean picture.
Oh, thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, I'll try to make more.
Thank you so much. Good night, Dave, and take care. Have a good week.
Okay, you too, Marco Bill. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Dave from Four Corners, New Mexico. We're going to, next year, we're going to go out here to, hold on. I got a problem with my little control panel. Here we're back. Now we're going to come out and we're going to go out to Anthony in Virginia. Anthony, how are you?
Feeling a little sick, Marco Bill, but I hope you're feeling well.
You know, you're doing like I'm doing. I've been in and out of the hospital the last 2 weeks.
Well, I'm glad you're better to be on the show tonight.
Well, what I did is I left your stuff from last week up there because there's a lot of interesting things in it. It's a pretty good slideshow of all the different things that have been going on. Did you have anything new happen, or you've been pretty ill?
It's been a combination. There have been some there were some new recordings that I had made, and but I've been sick, you know. I actually stayed home from work today. But there have been some howls that I have recorded, and, you know, I didn't forward it to you because it's still kind of confusing to try to figure out what it could be, You know,
sure.
But interesting thing is that it did stir up the neighborhood dogs. You know, so sometimes I have, you know, with those howls going at the same time, you can hear the dogs barking, but the howls never turn into a dog bark. But it almost, I want to say, sounds maybe like a wolf, you know, but it's very short, you know.
Uh-huh.
But it's nothing like the recording. It's not a, you know, the recording I had sent you prior to this one that I made, it's higher pitched, but, you know, but this one is definitely sounds lower, but I, like I said, I'm not familiar, you know, almost,
uh-huh.
You know, and the only reason why I'm suspicious of it is because the thing is making these howls for a good 2-3 hours, you know, it's about an 8-hour recording, so for about 2-3 hours, it's howling, you know, like, ooh, ooh,
wow,
you know, yeah. But it almost sounds like a dog, you know what I mean? But it's just,
uh-huh.
you know, but it carries, you know, it just goes a long distance, but it's not anything like, you know, it doesn't sound like the recording I had already sent you. So, but
wow,
but some people would think, oh wait, well that might be a dog or something else, you know. But I'm like, you know, what I'm trying to say, you know, dogs normally don't go this long making this noise, you know. So, but we've had some rain here. Water level's been high, so there haven't been, you know, it's just now going down, so this, you know, haven't been prints by the, you know, we hadn't casted the print last time, so, but, you know, we're still pressing on. You know, hopefully
no,
I can
good,
get
yeah.
Some videos or some pictures as good as Dave there, but, yeah, it's,
plus consistent.
Yeah, yeah. But, again, you know, I found a new area, and I kind of, you know, thankfully I got permission to go there as much as I want. And so I've been, you know, as much as I can, I've been going there, you know, and there's activity. But it's not like, some of the spots, you know, like probably where Dave and where Rocky and Sweet are going, it sounds like those are real, real, real hot spots. You know, here they're kind of like, you know, it's kind of been, you know, I want to say something's been going on almost every night, but it's just a short amount of time, and then that's it. You know, they're probably just moving on, you know, going back to where they're hiding.
Oh, gosh.
I can't say for sure.
Well, yeah, but then you know, they can't, you can't have, you're not going to have something every single time you go out there. it's going to vary on, you know, what the activities they're doing and time and a lot of other factors. So, I mean, just getting anything is pretty good. And you pretty consistent about different aspects of it. So it's an area that they're in. How about your friend with the, have you been able to talk to your friend any, you know, the one that's seen the ones in the trees and everything?
He's been real busy, you know, with his children, you know, with the sports season going on.
Mm.
But there have been occasions when his dog won't, you know, go out to relieve himself. You know, just, you know, strange behavior. Just go, you know, sometimes he usually just goes and runs out, you know, but he's noticed a few times the dog will go out and then not leave the porch, you know.
Mm-hmm. No, I understand. We've had that happen several times with other people too.
So.
Oh gosh, I want to. Sorry that you're ill, and I hope you do get better. I want to thank you for coming on and sharing with us tonight, taking the time to do that.
Thank you.
I'll keep in touch with you through the week here to see how things are going.
Yeah,
and
I'll have some more stuff for you.
Yeah, well, you've got quite a bit of stuff already. I kept it up there just because there's a lot of interesting things there. people want to take a look at that, there's a slideshow. It's got all the pictures, footprints, a whole bunch of stuff, and tree formations, all the things that has been going on in his area there. And it's on www.bigfootlive.com. And you go to the table of contents under what's on this week and go under Anthony, and you'll see that there's a link there. And when you click on it, it'll take you through a slideshow of all the different pictures he's submitted. Well, thank you, Anthony, for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and I hope you do get better for next week.
Thanks so much.
I've been going through the same thing. We'll see. I'll keep in touch with you. Okay.
Alrighty.
Take care.
Take care.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, there's Anthony from Virginia. Seems like a lot of us got the flu. We're going to go out here to New York to our good friend Richard. Richard, how are you?
I'm wonderful, Bill. Sounds like I'm better than everybody else.
Well, there's a couple of us there. Kind of got the flu downs.
Yeah, I got a flu shot this winter and I still got sick. You didn't get the picture that I emailed you, did you, with the tree?
Nothing I'm aware of.
Oh, boy, I don't know.
When did you send it?
I sent it again today, but that's the one I sent last week.
Yeah.
It's about the clearest picture I ever took of anything. There's a tree snap that's probably 10 feet high.
Yes.
And it's a major branch. It's not just it's a branch off of a great big tree.
Mm-hmm.
And it was broken, so it laid across the trail. I had a duck to get under it to go up the trail. The way my area is, there's thick bushes on either side. You can't just detour around and go off trail.
No, I understand. It's like a bramble beet bushes, close, thick.
And, Bill, there was no, but that was the only branch broke. So it wasn't from a storm or, and I've got a video of another area adjacent to this where there's a whole bunch of tree snaps, and some of them big, some of them small. You know, that could possibly be storm damage, but I don't think so. Yeah.
Well, when's the last time you had a storm through
there? This tree, I could see that it was a fresh snap. No, there was storm activity after that, but not before that. And it was fresh, you know, how you can look at the wood and see. I think they didn't want anybody going up that trail. They had been running a tractor with a brush hog on that trail. I don't think they wanted that brush hog going up the trail.
Hmm.
That's my opinion, because there's not even that much vegetation on top that would weight it down if it did get wet. There wasn't any vegetation on top. It was very sparse. The part that laid across the trail?
Yeah.
And one other thing, my brother told me a couple years ago, before I even got into what I'm doing now very heavily, that
sure.
He had gone, he used to climb mountains or cliffs in Canada, and he had met that Albert Osmond's granddaughter, he told me, and this is before I even got into this, you know, the guy that had gotten kidnapped.
Sure.
And the Bigfoot ate the snuff. And he said that she told him that what her grandfather told her was absolutely true. He had no reason to lie to her. And that's one of, you know, the basic stories that we had before from the past. You know, that
sure.
was like 1910 or 12 or something like that.
Right, yeah.
And Bill, by the way, my brother is really, he's got, cancer. In fact,
yeah.
they had given him 2 weeks to live, and that was about 4 months ago.
Wow.
People can include, his name is Charles, if they could include him in their prayers.
We
I'd
sure
appreciate
will.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
But I did go out this week, and there's not any vegetation out there yet. We've had a very harsh winter.
Sure.
So I don't think they're back yet. I really don't. I didn't sense anything. I didn't hear anything. And there's no vegetation on the bushes or trees or anything. We're behind up here.
No, I understand. It's a little further north.
We had a very brutal winter this year.
Well, it's quite a bit further north, too.
Oh, yeah. Well,
that doesn't start until about, was it May?
I think next 2 weeks we'll start budding here. But
yeah.
I had trouble walking because there's still icy spots where the snow freezes and thaws and refreezes. And I had a little problem getting around in there, and I'm going to wait another week or two before I go back. And I'm sure they'll be back because it happened last year.
Well, yeah, we'll just keep in touch with each other.
Oh, yeah.
Something happens, give me a call.
I wish I had more to say.
No. Well, the idea of this whole thing is, it's like I told Anthony, it doesn't happen every single time you go out. Sometimes you've got a lot of activity, and sometimes you don't have any.
Have you been to Anthony's area, Bill?
No, I haven't personally been there. Tom has.
I'm wondering, when he says rivers, I wonder if how deep and how fast they run. They can't be like the rivers here, can they? Because it's much drier.
I don't know, but wait until the end of the show here. You'll be able to ask them.
Because our rivers, when you talk about a river in the north, they're big. Nothing's walking across rivers here for the most part. We call
it
what he calls
rivers. Well, it all depends. They call a lot of different bodies of water rivers. And the Mississippi, if you start in the right place, you can walk across it in a step at the source.
Mm-hmm.
But about 10 mile or about another mile and a half down the thing, it's about a half a mile wide.
Yeah.
So, you know what I'm talking about. I mean,
the Northeast is very, very, very heavily watered. You know, we have creeks and streams and rivers all over the place. We have a lot of streams, and the one where I saw my first footprint, I've said this before, it's something called the Normanskill Creek. In some places, they would call that a river. I mean, it'd be a job to go across it. And I swear I saw one leave the bank. It was sunning itself on the bank on the opposite side. And I saw it stand up when I looked at it. And I had the sun to my back. And it actually put its hand over its eyes to shade its eyes and look at me. And when it saw me, it got into the water about chest deep and leaned against the bank. So it wouldn't be seen. It was too late for it. Didn't want to run to make itself more noticed. It just slid into the bank, into the water.
Oh yeah,
Swear I saw it, Bill. I swear I saw it. And that's where I saw the 20-inch print. But on the opposite side of where I had that
right on the opposite, right on the opposite side of where you
and
had
they
the other.
They talk about squatchy looking areas. That's about the most squatchy looking area you ever saw in your life.
Well, it's good. Well, Richard, I want to thank you for coming on tonight. You're going to stay
welcome,
on here
Bill.
Until the end, right? You can,
oh,
you can
yeah,
ask Anthony
the
question.
I can talk to my good friends Rocky and Swede and
yep.
Steve, and I feel close to all those guys.
Well, they're on next.
Okay. I'll hold on.
Okay, thank you.
See,
and I want to reach out, and we'll see. I'll keep in touch with you.
If you know if those two guys are talking about, it's going to be pretty good.
Yeah. Thanks for everything, Richard. Thank you.
You're welcome, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Richard from New York. Now we're going to go out here, and we're going to talk to Rocky and Swede. Rocky and Swede, how are you tonight?
Oh, man, we're doing good. Hey. Hey, everybody. Got a hot
well,
shower. How about you, Rocky?
I feel a whole bunch better.
A whole lot cleaner.
Yeah. I was starting to get it right.
What you guys got to understand is Rocky and Swede just got back at 4 o'clock in the afternoon here from a trek. no rest for the weary, and they're on the show tonight to tell us about what happened. Why don't you guys go right ahead, go jump in there with both feet and just let us know what happened.
Well, go ahead, Rocky.
Okay. Well, we made it out to the woods about six, Friday. We didn't do much of anything. We set up camp and we went and baited. It started getting dark about 8 o'clock, so we sat down for supper, and I made us a special pizza. I made us a venison pizza, and I thought it was really good.
Well, it was good enough. It was so good it knocked me completely out.
Well, I know it. It wasn't 15 minutes after you ate that you was snoring.
I know it. I know it.
I knew that because it woke me up. But anyhow, we went out Saturday morning, and we did some more baiting and checked for any kind of activity. We went down to the fish trap and the blue hole and the beaver pond and flat rock. We didn't really see any signs of much of anything other than a few hog trails and a deer trail and that kind of stuff. And for Richard, what we had that night when we got back, the Swede found a hole that was just completely full of crawdads. And so he caught a whole bunch of crawdads, and I went up by the road and I picked some wild asparagus that was about, I don't know, 6-8 inches tall and just as tender as could be. And we boiled those crawdads up and made some sassafras tea, and we sit back and we ate, and we thought about Richard, knowing that he was wishing that he was there eating crawdads with us. But anyhow, about midnight, boy, it came up. Hell, well, actually, it was about 9 o'clock. We were sitting out there, kicked back, and we heard three. It was kind of somewhere between a hoot and a yelp. There's three of them. Not anything that we, you know, that really came to mind. What we try not to do is assume, because as the Swede says, to assume makes an ass of you and me. So, I said to me that it sounded to me the closest thing I could think of was kind of like a howler monkey, but, you know, we don't have howler monkeys in Arkansas, so. Anyhow, we did we heard it, and, you know, we stayed there in camp and just, you know, hoping to hear more, but that didn't really work out, so we went to bed, and about midnight, we heard the damnedest crash you ever heard. And anyhow, we jumped up and ran up there in the direction it come from. And we got up there a little ways, and we couldn't see anything. I mean, we had flashlights, but, you know, we didn't see anything to start with. And then the Swede, he's got a nose like a damn bloodhound. But anyhow, he said he smelled fresh dirt. Anyhow, we looked around, and there was a tree laying down.
It hadn't even started raining yet. It was still, very still.
No wind. It was the calm before the storm. But anyhow, the tree was laying down. It was about a foot thick. Anyhow, it had, you know, it looked uprooted to me. It was just bare.
Oh, yeah, it was turned over.
Yeah, yeah. roots.
It got pushed over, Bill, with the, you know, from the roots is a red oak tree, if you're familiar with the red oak, and it's just as straight, you know, it wasn't like it was leaning over or nothing. And just a straight up, probably 45 foot tall, 35, 45 foot tall there, and it was, and it just was shoved over.
Wow. Down the dirt was fresh. The
dirt plowed up there. I mean, it was, Rocky spied it right away. I smelled it, and then Rocky went over there and said, look here. Well, we thought that we would wait around until the morning light. We weren't really intending on going out and doing anything that first night. We were just going to recover from the week and start in on it full blast the following day on Saturday. And we should have probably looked that tree over a little bit better. We kind of briefly looked it over to see if we saw any hair or anything like that on it. But we thought we'd wait, come back. It was just 100 yards from the camp, so we thought we'd come back the next morning. But it wasn't too long after we got back to camp, the bottom fell out of it, and it stormed on us. And
oh, man.
We had to hastily put our rain fly up, our rain flies on our tents, and stake our stuff down. It wasn't even tied down hardly, and we got did the big lash up the double poncho thing and put the ponchos over for secondary reinforcement and kind of hunkered down for the night. And it rained and stormed and all that. So when we got back down there the next, it kind of slowed down there in the morning and kind of quit, and we went back down there and there wasn't, if there was any hair on that tree, it got power washed off by the rain because it rained about 2 inches in about five hours. So
yeah, it washed that tree off really good. We looked around for tracks, but there was just nothing to see. Everything was just too wet and washed away.
But we did get out and go. We went to go try to set up our redo our bait that on Saturday, and it
Sunday.
And them creeks came up so hard that we thought better about the last time about crossing it. We thought better about it this time. Last time we had to stay for a week, trapped on the island, and we thought about Richard again. Thought we might not get so lucky and get us another coon than this time. So we thought better and we didn't cross, but. We checked our other bait and redid it all, and we looked around and saw some bobcat tracks that day, and some fresh bobcat tracks and some fresh hog tracks because the ground was just perfect for tracking.
Yeah, that was Sunday.
We saw
several kinds of tracks, but didn't see what we was hoping to see, but anyhow, we couldn't, we was kind of hoping that we couldn't get across to the other side of the creek, so, you know, we let it go down a little bit on Sunday, and we got across it Monday. And we rebaited some, looked for tracks. We set up our blinds. I set one up about, I don't know, I was about, how far? About 2 miles from camp? Three?
Yeah, probably more on the three side, probably.
And then the Swede, he went the other direction and set one up probably about the same distance in the opposite direction from me. And, we did our thing. Just a lot of sitting around and watching and waiting. And,
night critters, possums, yeah, and some coons and some armadillos and some stuff
until about 11 o'clock, and then it stormed like hell again, but you know, we were already out in it, so we just hunkered down and waited it out.
We brought our night vision. Well, I can tell everybody out there, if you're sitting out there in the night vision and you're, and the lightning starts striking for real hard around, lighting it up, best thing to do is just to turn it off and take it off your head. Because when that lightning hits that intensifier, it's like somebody just struck a welder in your eyes and you can't see nothing for a little bit. So that's good advice, to take your night vision off when it starts storming, because it ain't doing you no good.
But the truth is, I slept good.
Yeah, we hunkered down. You know, we had a pretty nice little blind set up there and our ponchos and all, and kind of raised up off the ground. It did rain pretty hard, and we stayed. It finally shut off about, oh, I don't know, it was just before daylight. It finally quit it. But then the skies cleared, and it got pretty nice. It was nice the rest of the trip. Actually, it was really, really nice. We didn't...
Tuesday was a beautiful day.
Yeah, it was a great day. But, and we got around, and we saw some stuff, but we didn't, we didn't see any footprints. Everything that would have been there impression-wise was standing in water or was washed away from the storming. So we really didn't have much to tell about, except for the big tree pushing and the hooping and the hollering that was going on there the very first day, the very first night we were there. But we did
saw some hogs and some deer, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, we saw a lot of that. But
yeah, but, you know, nothing that we were out there looking for.
We thought about getting a young hog, Bill, but, you know, Tom wasn't there. He's wanting to do a little on-site barbecue, so we opted against it because Tom wasn't with us.
Yeah,
but we had a chance to probably take a couple of small hogs, but we didn't do it. Probably
should we open it up for everybody?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. Richard, you're on.
Hi, guys.
Jerry, you're on. Dave, you're on. And Snake Man, you're on. Anthony, you're on. So we got the Swede, Rocky, Richard, Jerry, Dave, Snake Man, and Anthony.
How you doing, Richard?
Oh, I'm good. How you doing? Hey, I got a recipe for you guys for some New England porcupine.
Oh.
I gotta eat around the quills, though.
Yeah, I guess
no problem. But we don't have porcupines here.
Well, I'll ship you down a couple. You can fat them up.
Okay,
yeah.
I'm for it. Yeah, does anybody have any questions for Jerry? He's our newest guest, and he of course he's had a pretty recent legal encounter. Anybody questions?
I wanted to say that I was kind of impressed with his. Investigation.
Did you smell anything?
No, you know, I didn't smell anything. Which, you know, is all kind of smelling, you know, murky and a marshy like water. So, you know how
right.
that old marshy ground smells.
Right.
But no, I didn't. I know I've heard. Now, bringing that up, my stepmother. Grew up and raised in Robbinsville, North Carolina. Well, her and her dad was out in a field, and they was putting out some bait for some deer, and she smelled something. Smelled like a sewage plant. Well, she's looking around, and she said she's seen a Bigfoot, the hair on its off its face swinging around and walk off into the thing,
well.
Into the woods there. And then the lady I was telling you all about that I was coming from with the handyman stuff, doing some painting, she told me about a story in Pennsylvania when she was 12 years old. They went camping. Well, she had seen one, and her and her sister, she has a mentally handicapped sister, but they was out there picking up firewood because they were going to camp out, have a picnic, you know, stay out in the woods. Well, they come running back and told her mom, Mom, we seen a big giant thing, a monster. She said, oh, we didn't see no monster. Well, y'all go the other direction. Well, she said when they was going that other direction, her mama frantically hollering for them to come back to the car. We leaving. So she said, I guess Mom seen it. She didn't really say They ended up having a roadside picnic, she said.
Well, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm like Rocky. You done a fine job on your investigation. I was just curious to see if you'd smelled anything. You didn't mention it. Or if you did, I didn't hear it. If you did, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. But, I was just wondering. You know, that's something that always gets me. I've got the, I don't know, I guess I can't hear hardly anything anymore, but I could still smell pretty good. And a lot of times,
yeah.
Boy, I pick up on that scent of stuff pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
Just wondering if you did, you know.
Yeah, I didn't, but I believe the next time I go around there, I'll check it out, see if I can smell anything.
Have any of you guys ever been in a situation where you felt like something was watching you when you're out
there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know about that, huh, Anthony?
Yeah, I one time in that area where I bought Tom, when we had tested that footprint, seeing a dark figure with binoculars. That was just a couple months ago. You know? So,
I mean, you ever get creeped out because you were out there by yourself and you thought maybe a creature, a couple of creatures were kind of just watching you and observing you?
Well, not necessarily watching, but you knew one particular time I was out, I knew I was surrounded. And so I just, because of the tree knock, I got so close, I heard a knock, from one side, and you hear a response from another side. And so, there was only one way to go, back to where I came or right into something else. So,
I've only heard knocks once, and, I watch that one show where they go out and look, and they hear that they make the knocks, and it sounds like these were very dull. I mean, I expected to hear, bang, bang, bang. It wasn't like that. I mean, can somebody describe what, when they hear a tree knock, what they hear? Is it a really
loud? Well, it all depends on what he's knocking with. We've had reports of people knocking with a tree. If you swing a big tree and hit another tree with it, it's not going to make a sharp crack or anything like that. Some of these guys on the shows are using a baseball bat or something.
Well, they're hitting a. They got two sticks that they're hitting together that they selected specially,
Well, one thing I've learned, not that I've, this is just from my area and things that I noticed. I noticed that I see a lot of the bleat marks. They're not on the pine trees. They're always on the hardwood.
Pine trees are soft, right?
Right. So that's what I'm saying. And that's the one thing I notice where areas where I hear the knocks coming from, and I'll go into that area, and then I'll notice the trees with, the bleat marks on them,
Right.
But
they're hitting them pretty good.
Yeah, sometimes they're soft, sometimes they're hard,
But they also knock with rocks. They use rocks instead of trees.
Right.
I've heard that. I heard that once.
I think I've heard one fall out of the tree, the branch breaking, which is...
Like Rocky and Sweet, I've heard... twice I've heard trees being pushed over while I was out there. Twice.
Clear
days. No wind, no nothing. It was... I went looking for it. I couldn't find the tree. I heard it fall, and it was real loud.
The guest had asked about the feel like somebody was watching you.
Yeah, that was
I don't know everybody's name right off. What's your name, sir?
Richard.
Richard. Now, the picture that I took that I sent to Marco Bill that's looking out of this lair, well, this is about where I was standing. This is about like 10 to 12 yards away from me.
Or
it might have been closer. But you could clearly tell that it was staring where I was standing. It was like staring in a direct line to me. But it was in its lair looking out the opening of it. But as far as feeling like, but I felt like it was staring at me when I looked at the picture,
This is Jerry, right?
Yeah, yes, sir.
Yeah, you don't have to call me. Jerry, I think sometimes they're closer to us than we know, and a lot of people never even know they're there when they're looking at you.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they could be standing 10 feet away from you and don't see them.
Yeah, I think that's real true.
Yeah.
Especially
kind of creepy when you think about it.
Me and Rocky's been down in there, you know, you get your hair stand up on your back, just on the back of your neck a little bit, and you look around there and, you know,
that's,
you don't
that's,
see anything, but you kind of can sense it.
That's what I meant. Because I've been out there and I've been like freaked out because I know something's watching me. I think from our past we have that sense.
Mm-hmm.
You never truly lose it, you know. Other thing, guys, do you think that they make a range of noises that we can't hear?
Oh, they're like parrots. They can make, you know, the daytime they'll sound like daytime animals. Nighttime they'll sound like nighttime animals.
They won't do it perfectly. I got a video.
Yeah.
I've got a video, and it's a bird. It whistles three times. All right. Every time it whistles three times. So I whistled three times, and it whistled back at me. So I whistled back at it four times. And I guess I can't count because it whistled three times and it stumbled. Then it whistled again. And I said, you son of a bitch, I know that you're not a bird. I know you're not a bird. Because it would whistle three clear times, and when I whistled four, it stumbled. They can't count, I guess. They must be dumb as rocks.
Well, one time I did the whistling, and I was getting some responses back, and then it got quiet for a while, and then a pine cone came at me.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you know what? The whistle followed me. The whistle went with me as I walked out of there.
You know what to do.
Can't prove it.
Try to whistle a tune.
I don't think it was a bird.
Try to whistle a tune. You know, some type of, you know,
a simple tune. Yeah.
Well,
you know,
I get
any type
I,
of tune
I,
like you. You know, and see
I,
if it,
I
see if they repeat that.
Go.
Something that bird won't do.
Yeah, I sing when I go because I'm nervous because I'm by myself. And I think the singing, I can't sing very well, but I think it draws them to me. They're curious. They want to see the big, goofy-looking guy singing out of tune, you know?
That's maybe true, Richard.
Hey, Rocky and Sweet, do you get mosquitoes down there in the summer?
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, we get them, Rich.
They're like buzzards up here, you know, in the summer. My God.
They get pretty big, too. We have to...
In Arkansas, that used to be the state bird.
Yeah. Arkansas hummingbirds.
Well, I'll tell you, they at times, you know, at certain times, but you know what we've noticed is if we get a big wind out of Texas,
uh-huh.
I swear it blows them in on the breeze. And there'll be a big wave of them there for a little while. But, you know, I mean, I'm just assuming that's what the deal is. They come in, you know, from the south there. But we do have them in there. Boy, at certain times of the year, like when me and Rocky go in August, it's usually really, really hot. And there's not much water. And we don't have much trouble with the mosquitoes because there's not any water around.
It all depends how much rain we get up here.
But if it's in the spring or in the fall... you can guarantee you better have some DEET because if you don't, you're gonna.
I wonder how the creatures deal with it though.
That's really they got that fur on them.
They got lots of hair and lots of mud to pack on them.
And how do they deal? We got a lot of ticks. Up, you guys got ticks, right? They're
bad.
How do they deal? How would they deal with the ticks? You think they're immune to them?
No, they do just like the chimpanzees and stuff. I imagine just. Pick them off.
Yep.
Yes. I'll imagine they go to having a tick-picking party occasionally.
Yes, curious. You know, we have Lyme disease right down here in North Carolina.
Oh,
that
us
is,
too.
That is an interesting question.
Us, too. We got Lyme disease bad up here.
Yeah.
We have more deer in New York State now than when Columbus was here.
Oh, I hear.
Because, you know, with the farming, that's what they like. They don't like the woods. They like open fields.
They're setting on them agricultural fields, won't they, Richard?
Oh, yeah.
Other than
I can tell you one thing. I'm originally from Minnesota, and you follow the land of the northern part of Minnesota, the Ely, is the Ely country. It goes up into Canada, the Lake of the Woods area, and they have portages up there. It used to be no motorboats. It's open to motorboats now, but it wasn't then. You could only take canoe. And I'm going to tell you one thing. The deer, during the day, were just wonderful and beautiful. And there about in the evening, if you weren't on real high ground next to a real nice high fire with some sort of a net or something over your face and arms, I'm going to tell you, the mosquitoes are so thick that you'd actually choke.
Oh, choke. I see. Wow.
You breathe them in your nose.
Inhale
them. And the animals, the deer and the moose, I'm going to tell you, they just go nuts. They actually run into the water and try to cover with water. And it's not just mosquitoes. Deer fly, horse flies. The deer flies are really bad.
Yeah,
and,
those horse flies, we had some horses, man. Them things bite you and everything.
Yeah, deer flies do, too. The same thing. They're smaller. They're the little ones with the stripes on them.
They,
horse flies are the big
too.
Ones.
They
bite. Yeah, they bite. They draw blood.
I was going to try to get some. Okay, go ahead. Sorry, Bill.
No, go ahead.
I was going to try to get some input from y'all guys. I see on these shows, you know, which, of course, you know, like you're talking about, they, you know, cameras and stuff out there, what Bigfoot won't be standing around, you know, get, you know, so you can see it. But scat, they talk about scat, which I guess that's the Bigfoot's poop or whatever.
Sure.
What kind of things do you look for in that, like as far as like berries or bones or like fish bones or what? Can anybody help me with some input?
Well, it varies. I mean, it's we've found scat on several different occasions, and some of it had berries and other things in it. Others had actually fur.
Okay.
They eat small animals. They may eat large animals too. Deer.
They're omnivorous.
It varies, but the scat looked just like human scat, only quite a bit larger.
Okay, there you go. You answered my question, because you pretty much know what rabbit, you know, scat and
talking about, you know, your normal human stuff.
Okay.
But it's bigger.
I found some, and I found maybe 20 piles of it, and it was pretty big. And I went on the internet, and I looked for bear and deer. There was nothing I could find that looked like this stuff, and Dr. Meldrum described it, and that's what this looked like. And my friend Roger, he described it also, and I described what I had, and he said that's what it was. And I got a video that I tried to send it to Bill, and none of that stuff went through. I must have the wrong email address.
I know. That happened to me on them pictures. So I think, Bill, you got, 11 pictures like 3 times?
Yep, that's
okay. I don't know what happened. I seen it, but...
Rocky and Sweet, I never hear you guys talk about Coyote House. You got coyotes down there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, that's
you guys can tell. You can tell the difference between, like, a Bigfoot scream and a coyote howl?
Well, hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
My brother traps coyotes for a living.
Now, do they imitate them?
Oh, yeah.
They can. I would imagine it's not hard to do. I'm sure they can imitate about anything out there. You know, just going by what I've heard from, all the other people talking about it. I mean, I've heard a lot of people say that they were really good at imitating, and when it comes right down to it, a coyote, not that hard to imitate.
No, but it's hard, like me and Rocky say, you know, when you hear one coyote howl and then you hear 20 pups or 5 or 6 pups right behind it, I don't think that it's any kind of a Bigfoot doing that.
Right.
No.
That's old mama come up, you know, getting ready for the night thing right there at sunrise. Now, if you might hear one coyote howl, now that might make
Yeah, that's a whole different thing.
Right, but when you know...
Yeah,
when
you hear, and you don't normally find roosters 20 miles out in the woods.
Right.
Or horses. And we've had a sick imitation of a horse and the rooster. And the rooster's crow was pretty good to start out with, but it kind of coughed off into a kind of a spattering.
Yeah, we have, we've had, we won't say, but we had, we were on an expedition there, and that fellow just swore that he had had a Bigfoot, and it done it every night. And when we went over there, and then, you know, what it ended up being, it was a bull hollering. And, you know, if you didn't know what you was listening to, it was a pretty ominous sounding thing, and it was a great distance away, but it was definitely a bull. Because he just kept on, and he kept on, he kept on. There's some cows around there handy.
He was in heat.
You know, you can kind of tell. Usually it's going to be something, I mean, what we've heard, when we've heard vocalizations, it hadn't carried on very long. It was short and sweet.
Well, I'll take a lie detector about this. I heard the two conversing back and forth. And it was a language. It wasn't screams. It wasn't yells. Well,
there's lots of instances of that, Richard. Lots of instances of what they call monkey chatter. They call
it was more like Bill, it
Japanese kind of.
It sounded more like Japanese and Indian American combined.
Well, that's cool. Yeah.
And
I mean, there's lots of
me.
In fact, there's lots of recordings on the internet of.
Well, that's what it
sounded.
I've heard that, Bill, and it sounded kind of like that, and I panicked again. Stupid me, I should have put my camera on video and I could have recorded it. It was close enough. Stupid me. Stupid
you guys were asking
me.
Earlier.
Relax.
Asking,
yeah. Relax, Richard. You're getting out of this, Richard. Don't worry.
These things in layers. And about a year ago, we had a lady on the show from Pennsylvania. She was on here several times, as a matter of fact. She was giving us a weekly report here for about 2 or 3 months. And basically what happened was her first experience was she seen some eyes in a figure in a tree, in the top of a tree, next to a bamboo, I don't know what you call it, an area in the swampy, or not swamp, but kind of an area where there's nothing but just that thick little bamboo.
Mm-hmm.
And
cane break.
Yep. And she went down there and started investigating, and when she was walking into it, she walked right up on a one that was laying down in a, you know, laying down on the ground. She got about 10 feet from it.
Wow.
And it jumped up and took off through the bamboo. Of course, she did not take after it.
No.
Yeah, right.
But that was a pretty close experience. And when she looked at the area there, the bamboo was all laid down, like, you know, they busted, trampled it over to a nice little nest to lay down into. And there's a lot of different instances where we've had people walk up on these things that were sleeping or that they were laying down or even just crouched. No.
Bill, that guy, that video that you guys posted with the one going up the tree?
Yeah.
That was very, to me, that seemed very ape-like, very chimp-like.
Uh-huh.
You know, the noise.
It's not an ape, because you can tell, an ape or a chimp.
No, I know it's not, but the noises it made were almost
monkey chatter, that's what they call that.
Yeah, that's not what I heard. But that's
well, no, but they have others. There's other people we've had on the show for years now. There's a lady down in, Tennessee. She used to feed these things, her old bread and stuff from she had kind of like a store, or one of those little stop-in stores or something by a gas station or something. Mm-hmm. And out her back door, she lived in the same house. And that she'd just throw the bread out the back, and the creatures would come up and eat the bread that she threw out. And they would actually converse back and forth to each other. And it sounded like a language. Not monkey chatter. It was like a language.
That's why.
And,
Yeah.
And we've had several people on it that said the same thing.
That's why I think they're not, they're a hybrid, Bill. Well, at least some of them.
Well,
they got an intelligence.
We know. One is human. And we know there's two others that we have DNA on.
Wow.
We know that two others are within two. One is within two genomes. The other is within three genomes of human. So, I mean, you know, it wouldn't be unusual.
But, which means that they're a hybrid.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, they got Cro-Magnon. It's not human. There is human. 15,000 years or more, angelic, what they call angelic. Then there's other species of hominids that are not human, but a different species.
Yeah.
Okay, and we just don't know enough about them. We don't have enough information.
Well, guys,
I got to tell you, I want to thank all of you for coming on the show tonight. It's getting a little late here. Our 10 minutes went into 30, but that's all right.
It's just family talking to family. That's what it seems like to me.
Well, I want to thank all of you for coming on and sharing your stories and sharing with what you had. We're going to see everybody next week. I hope everybody, little prayers go out to everybody that's ill and not feeling well and sick. And we hope the best for everyone. But I want everybody to keep Bigfooting and keep the Bigfoot live. We'll see everybody next week. Maybe Tom will come back and we'll find out what's going on. Good night, everybody, and take care.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Tom Biscardi.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, mystery, legend, tales.